Once upon a time, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. Ebenezer Scrooge was a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, a hard-hearted miser. On this evening, the office of Scrooge and Marley was shrouded in cold, bleak, biting weather. External heat and cold had little influence on Scrooge. No wind that blew was bitterer than he.
God bless you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you
disturb. Humbug! Begone, you miserable little beggars! Take your infernal Christmas carols and get away from my door!
Sorry, sir. Merry Christmas anyway, sir.
Bah! And you, nephew, what right have you to be merry? You're poor enough. Christmas. Bah! Humbug.
Christmas humbug, uncle. You don't mean that, I'm sure. What right have you to be dismal about Christmas? You're rich enough. Don't be cross, uncle.
What else can I be, Fred, when I live in a world of fools such as this? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Keep Christmas in your own way, nephew, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone, then.
Christmas time is a good time, uncle, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time of goodwill toward all men. And although it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good, and I say, God bless it.
God bless Christmas. Hurrah!
You there, Bob Cratchit. Get back to work. Let me hear another sound from you, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Yes, sir.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come. Dine with us for Christmas dinner tomorrow. Kate would love to see you.
Kate? Oh, yes. Your wife. Why did you marry against my will?
Because I fell in love, Uncle Ebenezer.
Because you fell in love? With a woman as penniless as yourself, Fred. Good evening.
But you never visited before my marriage. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you.
Very well. Good evening.
Oh, I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last, so Merry Christmas to you, Uncle.
Good evening.
And a Happy New Year.
Good evening, Mr. Cratchit. Show my nephew out.
This way, Mr. Fred, and a Merry Christmas to you.
And to you and your family, Bob. How is Mrs. Cratchit and your children? And especially your youngest, the little lame boy?
Tim, sir. Tiny Tim. He's getting better. Thank you for asking. Happy Christmas. Two to see you, Mr...
A good day, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley, my partner, has been dead these 7 years. In fact, he died 7 years ago this very night. I'm Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, well, at this festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we seek charity for the poor and destitute.
You see, many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of the simplest comforts, sir.
Why is that? Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses and the treadmill, are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
Oh, I was afraid that something had stopped them in their useful cause.
Well, they scarcely furnish Christian cheer, Mr. Scrooge. A few of us seek to buy the poor some meat and drink, and means of warmth. We do so now because it is a time when want is keenly felt amidst the holiday abundance. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
Ah, you wish to be anonymous.
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. As a businessman and taxpayer, I support the prisons and workhouses. Let those who are badly off go there.
Oh, but many can't go there.
Yes, many would rather die.
If they would rather die, then let them do so, and decrease the surplus population.
I see. So the firm of Scrooge and Marley declines.
It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good evening.
Very well, sir. You've made your views quite clear. Good evening to you.
Mr. Scrooge, it's 7 o'clock, sir, and it is Christmas Eve.
So? I suppose you'll want all day tomorrow, eh, Mr. Cratchit?
If quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. Why should I pay a day's wages for no work?
'Tis but once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose you must have the whole day. We'll be here all the earlier the next morning, Mr. Cratchit.
I will, sir.
Bah!
Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern and walked home through the rolling fog and bitter cold. He silently passed the urchins crowded round fires in the street trying to keep warm. The icy Scrooge trudged along through the dark streets, but just as he reached the door of his dismal house, he thought he heard something calling.
Ebenezer Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge!
It was the voice of his long-dead partner, Jacob Marley, whose ghostly face appeared on the door knocker. Scrooge hurried inside, closed the door, and locked himself in. He double-locked himself in. He checked the sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet. Secured against surprise, Scrooge put on his dressing gown and nightcap and sat down before the fire to take his gruel, when suddenly...
Gah! What is it? Every bell in the house must be ringing. What in the... world? Wait, what's that? Someone's in the cellar. But the doors are locked. Double locked. Something is coming. Something is coming closer. No! I won't believe it. It's humbug, humbug, I say.
Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge!
Gah! How now? What do you want with me? Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe in me, Scrooge? Why do you doubt your senses?
Disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You're not a ghost. You're just a bit of bad beef, a blot of mustard, a fragment of an underdone potato. Ha! There's more of gravy than the grave about you, whatever you are. Humbug!
Hey!
Yeah! Mercy! I believe you. Oh, dreadful apparition. Why come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit does not go forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death, doomed to wander the world and witness what it cannot share but might have shared.
You are chained, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life, link by link, yard by yard. I am chained by cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers. Witness the weight and length of the strong chain you bear yourself, Scrooge. It is a ponderous chain.
I see no chain.
You shall. On the day of your death, mark me. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole. Now, I am doomed to wander without rest or peace. No regret can make amends for one's life's opportunities misused.
But you were always a good man of business.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. It is at Christmas time that I suffer most.
I'm sorry for you, Jacob. Is there anything I can do?
For me, it is too late. But I have come to warn you of a hope and chance of escaping my fate. You will be haunted by three spirits. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. The second, the next night, at the same hour. And the third, upon the next night, at the last stroke of 12. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Ah! Ebenezer, look out this window. That poor woman and her infant huddled on the doorstep below. Look, that you may see for your own sake.
Ghosts. Hundreds. Chained. Just like yourself. They surround the woman. But they're not haunting her. They're pleading. Doesn't she see them? Why do these ghosts lament, Jacob? Why do they wail?
They seek to aid her. They seek to do good in human matters, but have lost their power forever. They wail in unceasing torture and remorse. Beware this cruel fate, Ebenezer. Beware! Beware! Beware!
Scrooge awoke. Was Marley's visit a dream or not? He decided it was a dream and nothing more. But suddenly the curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man.
Ebenezer Scrooge!
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
Your past. I come for your welfare. Rise and walk with me.
Out the window? But I am mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand and you shall be upheld in more than this.
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road, with fields on either hand. A little market town appeared in the distance, with its bridge, its church, and winding river. It was a clear, cold winter day, with snow upon the ground.
Do you recognize this place, Scrooge?
Good heaven! I was bred in this place. I was a boy here. Look, in that coach going by,
my schoolmates Charles and John. They're on the Norfolk coach, taking them home for the Christmas holiday. Johnny, it's me, Ebenezer!
Wait! These are but shadows of the things that have been. They pay no notice to us. Come!
Why, it's my old schoolhouse. But it wasn't a place of learning. More like a prison.
On Christmas Eve, the school is not quite deserted. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still. A lonely boy, reading beside a feeble fire. Do you know him?
I am that child. Alone. My only companions were my books. Oh, poor boy. Oh, I wish. But it's too late now.
What is the matter?
Oh, nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should have liked to have given him something. That's all.
Let us see another Christmas, Ebenezer. Come.
Why, it's me, years later. But still away at this dismal school.
Ebenezer. Ebenezer.
It's Fan. My sister. My beloved Fan.
Dear, dear brother, I have come to bring you home. Yes, home. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. That home's like heaven. We're to be together all Christmas long and have the merriest time in all the world. Come with me. Let's go.
Your sister was always a delicate creature, whom a breath might have withered, but she had a large heart. She died a woman, but had, as I think, children.
My nephew Fred. Oh, my, how he does resemble his mother.
Come to another Christmas past, a celebration.
Fezziwig's warehouse. I apprenticed here. Why, it's old Fezziwig. Bless his heart. It's Fezziwig, alive again, at one of his Christmas parties.
Yo-ho there, Ebenezer. Dick, no work tonight. Christmas Eve. Join in the fun. Merry Christmas, everyone. Come and dance.
Do you recognize yourself, Scrooge? A young man with a twinkle in his eye and a future before him. He looks so happy.
Oh, it was a marvelous party. Look at old Fezziwig, how he dances. It's glorious. Ho, ho, what a jolly time we used to have.
'Twas a small matter for old Fezziwig to make those silly folks so full of joy.
Small matter? Small indeed.
He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money, and look, is it so much that he deserves praise?
Bah! It's not that. It's not that spirit. Fezziwig has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service a pleasure or toil. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
What? Is something bothering you, Scrooge?
No. I should like to have a word or two with my clerk, Bob Cratchit, just now.
Scrooge, my time grows short. Quick, several years later.
Oh, Belle, as beautiful as ever.
A penniless girl. Who loved you, Scrooge?
And I her. It didn't matter that she had no dowry. We were so happy together.
Until your career with Jacob Marley came between you. As you gained, so you lost. Do you see yourself? You're older now, a man in the prime of life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy. The eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No. No, no! Spare me this! Not this spirit, no!
This music box is a beautiful gift, Ebenezer.
but I realize I matter little to you. Very little. To protect yourself from a hard, cruel world, you have become hard and cruel in response. I have tried to cheer and comfort you, but another idol has displaced me.
What idol could ever displace you, Belle?
You now worship a golden idol. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off, one by one. Oh, Ebenezer, when we were first engaged, you were another man, but no longer.
I wanted security. Success. For you, Belle.
I seek tenderness, not riches. Therefore, I release you from our engagement. With a full heart, for the love of him you once were.
No.
Dear Ebenezer, may you be happy in the life you've chosen.
Belle, no! Spirit, show me no more. Why do you torture me?
The whole scene disappeared, and Scrooge found himself once more alone. Back upon his bed. He drifted off to sleep, only to be awakened again by the stroke of one. He gradually noticed a great blaze of ruddy light glowing from beneath the door. Something was in the outer room.
Come in, Ebenezer Scrooge. Come in.
Scrooge opened the door and beheld his own sitting room transformed. The walls and ceiling were so hung with evergreen that it looked a perfect grove. Around the blazing fire lay a feast of meats and fruits and seething bowls of punch. And there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see. He bore a glowing torch shaped like Plenty's horn and held it up, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the door.
Come in. I am the ghost of Christmas Present.
Spirit, take me where you wish. Last night I went against my will and learned a lesson which is working now. Tonight, if you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it.
Very well. Touch my robe.
And instantly they were transported to the streets of London on a bright Christmas day. The shops were bustling, jolly people completing their errands or returning from church. The grocers, the poultry and fruit shops, all were busy and all a delight. Presently, Scrooge and the spirits came to Camden Town, to a humble house on a humble street.
This is the home of my clerk, Bob Cratchit, his wife and six children. Why are we here, spirit?
Where's your father, then, and Tiny Tim?
Oh, but here's Martha, mother. Hurrah!
Sorry I'm late, Mother, but the factory had us come in today to clean up from last night.
Well, bless your heart, my dear. Sit down by the fire and have a warm.
No, Father's coming. Hide, Martha, hide. Father, Father!
Ah, Peter, Belinda, Mary, Paul. Why, where's our Martha?
Not coming.
Not coming? Not coming on Christmas Day?
Here I am, Father. Merry Christmas.
And how did little Tim behave at church, Bob?
As good as gold, Mother, and better, eh, Tim?
They sang ever so nice, Mother. I hoped the people saw me in church. Because I'm a cripple, it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Bless you, my son. See, Mother, his heart is strong and he will get better. I know it.
Look!
Ooh, smell that goose! Hurrah! Look, look! There never was such a goose, never!
All right, be seated! Here you go! Take your turn now. There's plenty of stuffing, dressing, and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, dear, sit next to Tiny Tim and make sure he eats plenty. He must get strong and well. If
anything should happen to him.
Oh, Mother, don't even think that. I'll see that he eats well.
Such a feast requires a Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat and a crutch without an owner. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Oh, no, kind spirit! Say he will be spared!
Why? If he's to die, he had better do so and decrease the surplus population.
Oh, you use my own words against me.
Yes. Perhaps in the future, you will hold your tongue until you have discovered what the surplus population is and where it is. It may be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
Here's the punch, steaming hot. Take your turn. There's enough for a toast and one after that.
A toast to Christmas.
Here. I would like to propose a toast to Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge, the founder of our feast. To Mr. Scrooge!
No!
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had Mr. Scrooge here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon. And I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children. It's Christmas Day.
I'll drink to his health for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I've no doubt.
Come, Ebenezer, to a gathering across town.
Ah, my nephew Fred and his wife Kate and their many hungry friends.
And then he said Christmas was a humbug, and he believes it too.
More shame for him, Fred. I'm sure he's very rich. At least you always tell me so.
What of that, my dear wife? His wealth is of no use to him. He doesn't make himself comfortable with it. Here, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man, whatever it is. He wouldn't take it from me, but he may have it just the same to Uncle Scrooge.
Come, Ebenezer. There is much more to see. Men who keep Christmas in their hearts. Come.
Much they saw, and far they went, and many homes they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirit stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful. On foreign lands, and they were close at home. By poverty, and it was rich, in poorhouse, hospital, and jail, in misery's every refuge. The spirit of Christmas left his blessing and taught Scrooge as he went. At last, they returned to the streets of London for the spirit's final lesson, but the spirit had aged.
My time with you, Ebenezer, is almost done. Have you gained by what I have shown you of the good in most men's hearts?
I don't know. How can I promise? I'm too old to change.
If it is too hard a lesson to learn, then look upon these. Look here, under my robe.
What? Two horrible, misshapen children. Spirit, are they yours?
They are man's children. Their names are Ignorance and Want. Beware them both. Without the spirit of Christmas to comfort them, narrow puritanism and greed would release these wretched beings upon the world.
Have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
And with that, the ghost of Christmas present dissolved into the mist, and Scrooge stood alone upon the street. As the last stroke of midnight rang, Scrooge remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting his eyes, he beheld the third spirit, a solemn phantom, draped and hooded, coming like a mist along the ground towards him.
Are you the ghost of Christmas yet to come? You are about to show me shadows of things that have not yet happened but will happen. Spirit, will you not speak to me? Ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I've seen. Yet as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, lead on. Lead on. Spirit, why have you brought me here again to Bob Cratchit's home? But it is different. So quiet. What is this, Spirit? What kind of Christmas is this?
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them.
My son! My son, Tiny Tim!
Mother, please don't cry. Father will be home soon. Don't let him know you've been crying.
He's late tonight. When he had Tiny Tim on his shoulder, he would walk very fast indeed. But the child was light to carry, and Father loved him so. It was no trouble, no trouble at all.
Here's Father now, Mother.
Sorry I'm late. I was at the churchyard. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised Tiny Tim that we'd walk there on Sundays.
Oh, Bob!
My Tiny Tim.
Oh, that's cruel. Spirit, can't you give me some ray of hope that I may change all of this? That Tiny Tim may live? Spirit, where are we now? Oh, merciful heaven, the churchyard. Desolate, lonely, crumbling graves. Is poor Tiny Tim buried here? Tell me, Spirit, are these shadows of things that will be, or are they shadows of things that might be? Spirit, that gravestone to which you point, what is on it? Wait. Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. No. No! No, Spirit. Why show me this if I am past all hope? Am I to become like Jacob Marley, like all the other wretched ghosts, chained, wandering the earth forever? No! No! Spirit! I am not the man that I was. Tell me that I may change these dreadful shadows. I'll have a Christmas in my heart. I'll live in the past, the present, and the future, and not shut out any lessons they teach. I pray, please, Spirit, that I may sponge away the writing on this stone. I'll change. I pray, I'll beg you, I beg you. I'll change, please, please, I'll change. Home, in my own bed. Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven and the Christmas spirits be praised. I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. Oh, I'm quite a baby. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. Oh, glorious light. Fresh air. Oh, the window. Why, I'm merry. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
And a Happy New Year, sir!
Boy, what's today? What day is it, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas Day? The spirits have done it all in one night.
And so they had done it all in one night. Scrooge sent the boy to the poultry shop to buy their prize turkey and have it delivered to the Cratchit family as an anonymous gift. Then the new Ebenezer Scrooge dressed himself in all his best and got out into the streets of London. By this time, people were pouring forth, and Scrooge regarded all with a delighted smile and hearty holiday greeting.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
By chance, Ebenezer came upon the charity seekers he had dismissed yesterday, but today he apologized and made a large donation to their worthy cause, with many back payments included. He continued on to the door of his nephew Fred, who was in the midst of his Christmas dinner with his wife and friends.
Uncle Ebenezer, why, I can't believe you're already here at my home on Christmas.
I come to beg your pardon, Fred, for the things I said about Christmas.
Do come in. May I present my wife, Kate?
Uncle Ebenezer, I've never expected this of you.
Oh, Kate, can you forgive an old fool? God forgive me for the time I've wasted.
And so Ebenezer Scrooge rejoined his family and rejoined the family of man. The next morning he arrived early at his counting house to catch Bob Cratchit coming in late. But was Bob ever late? The clock had struck 9, no Bob. 9:15, no Bob. Finally...
Mr. Cratchit, what do you mean by coming in at this time?
I'm very sorry, sir. I'm behind my time. It shall not be repeated.
Bob Cratchit, I'll not stand this sort of thing any longer. Therefore, I am about to raise your salary.
Oh, please, sir, you're going to raise my salary? But, sir...
Wait. No, Bob. I've not lost my senses. I've come to them. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merrier Christmas than I have given you for many a year. Sit down. We'll discuss your affairs over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop, Bob Cratchit. Merry Christmas!
Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he became a second father. And it was always said that Ebenezer Scrooge knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be truly said of us, all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
This story was adapted and scored by Anthony E. Palermo. This has been a very merry production of WGTE's A Christmas Carol.